You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Please join me in a prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who wander throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Thanks, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me this afternoon here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and we are embarking on a little journey with Mary, the Undoer of Knots. And when Archbishop Bergoglio, was elevated to cardinal, it gave him the opportunity to share the devotion with the Holy Father. In 2005, shortly after Pope Benedict XVI ascended the chair of St. Peter, Cardinal Bergoglio commissioned a chalice to be crafted for the Roman pontiff and engraved with an image of Mary, Undoer of Knots. He then presented it as a fitting gift for His Holiness, a Bavarian image for a Bavarian pope. It was a fitting gift for another reason. Pope Benedict XVI had a special admiration for Baroque art and architecture. When Pope Francis became the Vicar of Christ, his special devotion to Mary Undoer of Knots drew global media attention. And as a result, many Catholics around the world became acquainted with this new Marian devotion for the first time, and they quickly began to invoke Mary's help under this efficacious title. Interestingly, a devotion that began with Father Rem, a Jesuit priest who was brought to the world by a Jesuit pope. As Holy Father Pope Francis continues to share with the world this Marian devotion that he regards so highly, he has a copy of this beautiful painting hanging in the papal reception room where he greets foreign dignitaries. This conspicuous location reminds us that Our Lady can assist even with the great knots that beset world leaders and the relations among nations. One of the most significant points in his papacy, at which the Holy Father has promulgated the Mary Undoer of Knots devotion thus far, was at the 2015 World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia. In honor of the Holy Father's appearance at this event, a public grotto was erected underneath a reproduction of the famous painting. To fill the walls of the grotto, pilgrims were given long, narrow, white strips of cloth on which they wrote their prayer intentions. Over 100,000 of these ribbons were then tied in knots on and around the grotto's framework to symbolize the pilgrims giving their knots to Mary to unravel. The myriad knotted ribbons placed under the Mary Undoer of Knots image became a striking visualization of our suffering and how desperately humanity needs the help of our mother. Fittingly, the grotto was erected in front of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. the two saints who laid the foundation for the church, thereby bringing the means of salvation to the whole world. The successor of St. Peter, Pope Francis, made a surprise visit to the Mary of Undoer of Knot's Grotto to pray for the many intentions left there by the pilgrims. We can see God's providence at work in the fact that the Mary of Undoer of Knot's devotion was highlighted at the World Meeting of Families in the presence of the Holy Father. Pope Francis recognizes the spiritual battle that often underlies our own knots, brothers and sisters, that Satan is after our relationships and our families, tying them up in knots and destroying our peace. This is reflected in the prayer Bergoglio composed to Mary Undoer of Knots while he was still a cardinal. He asked that Our Lady free us and our loved ones from the knots and confusion with which our enemy attacks, and to untie the knots that prevent us from being united with God, so that we, free from sin and error, may find in Him all things. So this beautiful devotion, my friends, has been brought to the entire world just when societies have reached a whole new depth of disorder, resulting in increasing pain and suffering in the moral breakdown of our modern culture. It is the family, the bedrock of society, that has been most under attack and reduced to a terrible state. Saint Charbel, and I know that in the archives of Radio Maria Canada, you will find I went into quite a bit of an in-depth broadcasting, programs that I did on Saint Charbel, and I encourage you to have a listen to those. A 19th century visionary and mystic, he warned, he warned of Satan's attack against the family, just as another mystic, Sister Lucia of Fatima, would repeat in the following century. Saint Charbel described the family as the rope that binds humanity together, and how Satan works tirelessly to break it. This is the words from Saint Charbel. He said, "The human family on earth is the image of the Holy Family in heaven. The family passes on the plan of God from one generation to another. It transmits the love and word of God through the generations. The collapse of the family means the collapse of God's plan in humanity. It means the breakup of the message of salvation and sanctity to humanity. Every family is a holy family because it is the image of God, the Trinity. The corruption of the family means a corruption of the image of God. The family carries the torch of light and passes it from one generation to another, so the world may remain lit by the light of the Lord. The family is the rope that binds humanity together through time, binds generations through history, so that humanity may grow and increase. And if this rope which binds humanity together was broken and humanity gets separated from its history, it would be no more than lost generations which have neither history nor identity. The family is what gives people their human identity and impresses the image of God in them. The family is what preserves the memory of humanity. Humanity without family is humanity without memory. A person without memory keeps turning in place, and humanity without memory will stop in history and die. The family is the basis of the Lord's plan, and all forces of evil are focusing all their evil on destroying the family, because they know that by destroying the family, the foundations of the plan of God will be shaken. The war of the evil one against the Lord is his war against the family. And the war of the evil one is against the family is the core of his war against the Lord, because the family is the image of God. From the beginning of the creation of this universe, the evil one is focusing on destroying the family, the foundation of God's plan. The family is the place where a man communicates with God and with his brothers in humanity. And without the family, this communication is broken and nothing can ever make up for it. And if man attempts to reconnect the broken contact using his human means, it will become fragile, weak, and twisted, and humanity will become ill and warped, moving towards a slow death. So, brothers and sisters, guard your families, as Saint Charbel says. Guard your families and keep them from the schemes of the evil one through the presence of God in them. Protect and keep them through prayer and dialogue, through mutual understanding and forgiveness, through honesty and faithfulness, and most importantly, through listening. Listen to one another with your ears, with your eyes and your hearts, your mouths, and the palms of your hands. Keep the roaring of the noise of the world away from your homes, because it is like raging storms and violent waves. Once it enters the home, it will sweep away everything and disperse everyone. Preserve the warmth of the family, because the warmth of the whole world cannot make up for it. So there are sometimes relatives, our family members, children, spouses, sometimes there's discord. There are challenging times between maybe a loss of job, maybe a job that's far away that takes the one spouse away from the family most of the time, financial difficulties, health challenges, depression, anxiety, you name it. Brothers and sisters, the evil one works 24/7. It is relentless in trying to destroy your family. Be aware of your enemy. Be aware and know who your enemy is in your lives. And always, when you are aware of that, by the way, then you must pray. Pray with all your heart. Say the rosary. Say the rosary in the morning. Say the rosary before you go to bed. And ask God and ask the Blessed Mother, Mary, Undoer of Knots, to intercede for you. In the Garden of Eden, Satan was intent on destroying the human family and attacking the bond at its center, marriage. This is the crux of the war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan, as prophesied by Sister Lucia of Fatima. She said, "The final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family." Don't be afraid, she added, because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. However, Our Lady has already crushed its head. So because we know this, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live, right? Families united to Christ and Our Lady become strong, and they can thwart the knots that Satan sows into the world. When the family is under assault, the Mother of God stands ready to help. Mary, Undoer of Knots, is a devotion for turning to the Mother of God to bring resolution, healing, and restoration back into the family and back into society. And so, brothers and sisters, let me just check. Okay. Life is difficult, brothers and sisters. You know, I know that we've all had our own challenges along the way, right? We understand, and as Christians, we must remember this, my friends. We recognize this as a spiritual reality as well. We understand that this struggle-filled life is only temporary. Our eyes are heavenward, heavenward, to turn toward our true home as we place our hope in that eternal future. But can hope untie our knots here on earth? St. Paul gives us the answer. He says, everything helps to secure the good of those who love God. All right? There is a book that you might be interested in. It's called When God is Silent. And the author is Luis Martinez, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But the book is called When God is Silent. St. Paul says, without exceptions, including certain temptations and circumstances seeming unfavorable for our sanctification. This is actually, I'm sorry, the writer from the book. We must make no exception where God makes none. Everything helps to secure our good. Consequently, this includes persecutions from without and struggles from within, dangers and temptations, our defects and our very falls. All things work together for the good of those who love God. Even our knots can be turned into something to be used for the glory of God. And this hope is the evidence of our faith in God. And it is this faith that often helps us to put one foot in front of the other. So here, my dear friends, is a lovely prayer that I wanted to share with you today. Let me just... here we go. Right, so actually it's just a phrase, right? But is that we must never lose hope in God. Mary, undoer of knots, pray for us. The Blessed Mother has asked us to pray the rosary every day. We encourage you to pray our daily rosary as you go through this journey with me. And so, you know, always remember, the rosary is the joyful mysteries on Mondays and Saturdays, the sorrowful mysteries on Tuesdays and Fridays, the luminous mysteries on Thursday, the glorious mysteries Wednesday and Sunday. There is no problem, said Saint Lucia, Sister Lucia of Fatima. There is no problem, I tell you, no matter how difficult, that we cannot resolve by the prayer of the rosary. So, very important for us to remember, my friends, the importance of the rosary. And so we now know that that Pope Francis has also encouraged this, that there was a famous painting of Mary, the undoer of knots. And I don't want to get into the painting itself, but I'm sure that you could easily find it. So let's go and get right to that. Hold on a sec, brothers and sisters. So, brothers and sisters, I really wanted to, before I do go on, I think it would be best to talk about the painting, the history, the meaning of the devotion of this Marian prayer. The artists usually depict Mary with the child Jesus in her arms, or with her hands folded in prayer, or with her arms actually extended as if she's reaching down to us, her spiritual children, right? It is rare to see an image that depicts her working, yet this is how we see Our Lady depicted in this famous Baroque painting. Mary is busy unraveling the knotted wedding ribbon with her hands, while at the same time she is crushing the head of the serpent underneath her foot. She is active. There is no other widely venerated Marian iconography that illustrates her laboring to complete a task. This fact alone makes the painting quite remarkable. It becomes more remarkable still when we examine the theological symbolism contained within the painting. So To grasp this more fully, excuse me, we must first consider the kind of art that it is in its nature and purpose. The Mary Undoer of Knott's painting was designed as an altarpiece. And I think what we'll do is we'll have on the, I'm sure you'll find a picture accompanied by this broadcast of the painting so that you can see it as well when you check the archives after this broadcast. And that's really important is because it's no use explaining to you and describing the painting if you can't see it yourself. So you can check it out yourself, but I'll make sure that it's also on the website. But an altarpiece is not merely a decoration intended to ornament an altar and beautify a church. It is a form of liturgical art, which means that it has a sacred function that serves a specific spiritual purpose. At the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the altar is the place where heaven and earth meet. The altarpiece, therefore, is intended to elevate our human senses so that our intellects can better contemplate this heavenly reality. So Cardinal Ratzinger, the future Pope Benedict XVI, said, "The altar is a place where heaven is opened up. It does not close off the church, but opens it up and leads it into the eternal liturgy. The altarpiece is like a window through which the world of God comes out to us. The curtain of temporality is raised, and we are allowed a glimpse into the inner life of the world of God. And this art is intended to insert us into the liturgy of heaven. The image of Christ and the images of the saints are not photographs. Their whole point is to lead us beyond what can be apprehended at the merely material level, to awaken new senses in us, and to teach us a new kind of seeing, which perceives the invisible in the visible. It leads us in turn into an interior gazing, an encounter in prayer with the Lord. The image is at the service of the liturgy," right? So that was through Pope Benedict XVI. So with this explanation, we can better understand that Mary Undoer of Knott's painting is intended to be an object of prayer and contemplation, an aid to lift our hearts and minds to God. It's also to help us see reality with supernatural eyes and to teach us the sacred truths of the Catholic faith. And so with this kind of understanding, my friends, we can better understand the deeper spiritual truths which the artist's symbols convey. What glimpse into the inner life of the world of God is this liturgical painting revealing to us, right? In the Mary Undoer of Knott's painting, Mary is suspended between heaven and earth. She is bathed in light while the earth below is shrouded in shadow. This contrasts the light of her heavenly glory with the darkness of our earthly struggles. The source of life, a source of light, descends from the dove suspended in the heavens above Mary's head. In Catholic art, a white dove is the traditional representation of the Holy Spirit. It is when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Our Lady at the Annunciation that she became the Mother of God. And this is the reason for her exalted place in heaven. She is also surrounded by a company of cherub angels who all look to her, denoting her sublime status as Queen of the Angels. A halo of 12 stars encircles Mary's head, and her feet rest on a crescent moon. This Marian symbolism comes to us from St. John the Apostle, who saw a heavenly vision of Our Lady clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, found in Revelation 12, verse 1. The 12 stars connect the 12 tribes of Israel in the Old Testament with the 12 apostles of the New Testament, signifying that Our Lady is both the daughter of Zion and the queen of the apostles. Interestingly, only 7 of the stars in the circle of 12 are visible to the eye. This gives the stars a double meaning. Their golden yellow color can also be interpreted as seven flames descending from the dove, a common representation of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here the truth is conveyed that Our Lady is full of the Holy Spirit, and His seven gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is what gives Our Lady the spiritual light to complete her work. She holds in her hands the knotted wedding ribbon, and her fingers are actively untying its knots. Two angels assist Mary at her task. The angel on the right lifts up the tangled ribbon to her, while the angel on the left holds the end of the ribbon that she has untangled. The angel on the right is looking up to Our Lady for her assistance with the hopelessly knotting ribbon. The angel on the left is looking out to us, as if to beckon us to pay close attention to what Our Lady is doing. And the expression on Mary's face is calm and serene. Her head is tilted downward to the ribbon she holds in her hands, yet her eyes are closed in prayer as she works. The ribbon is long and filled with many knots and twists, yet with the light of the Holy Spirit, Mary unravels it effortlessly, without the slightest difficulty. Mary is clothed in the color of vermilion and wrapped in a billowing blue mantle. In the fiery red of her garment, we can find her depicted as the woman clothed with the sun, while blue is the color of royalty. The blue and red can also have another meaning, red being the color of the earth below and blue being the color of the heavens above, signifying that Mary is the Queen of Heaven and Earth. And so, my friends, at this point, I will leave you be and continue this beautiful devotion and information and prayer of Mary, Undoer of Knots. And I sincerely hope you are enjoying this broadcast, and you can time and time again, you'll be able to go and listen to it in the archives. God bless you, everyone. Thanks so much for being with me. This is your host, Christina Doyle, saying God bless and have a blessed week. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Just a single day.